The instructions have to be clearer. Okay, so...
Move the gift 3 people to your right.
Move the gift 3 people to your right. Okay, brilliant. Well done. And as you go... I can hear the sound of rustling. You know what? When we did this building up, it was incredible because the chapel was built in 1835. And one of the biggest things I saw when we were moving all the floorboards downstairs was lots of sweet wrappers. Can you believe it? So I don't know what these Victorians were getting up to in those days, but it must have been quite long sermons and lots of sweet wrapping going on. Okay, so we've got a little thing on here, I think, hopefully. Is that working? Could you help me? First picture, please. My question this morning is, why is the birth of Jesus the best Christmas present ever? Oh, there we go, the best present. That's great. Thanks, guys. I'm going to read a little bit from the Bible. So this is taken from Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 onwards. Now, the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary to be your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you are to call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. And he did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So we're just going to bring out 3 points from this. The first thing is this, that... The present of the birth of Jesus is the greatest Christmas present of all time for us because it is God actually visiting this planet. So if we can turn to the next one. In fact, I've got the pointer. Let me see if I can do it. No, it's not working. Oh, yes, it is. Was that you or was that me? All right. That's a relief. It did work. Okay, so does anybody know where this was taken from, this picture of this sunrise, please? I'll give you 3 guesses. Over the Dead Sea. Not correct. 2 more guesses. Hands up if you want to guess. Could be anywhere. Yes. Brecon Beacons. Incorrect. 1 more guess. You get sweet if you get it right. Yes. Galilee. Incorrect. Okay. It was taken from Mars. Yes. So that's what the sunrise looks like on Mars. That was taken by the Curiosity rover vehicle. And on Mars, apparently, you can see it's quite blue there. The sunrises and sunsets go blue. And during the day, the sky is sort of orangey color on Mars. But when the sun goes down and sun rises, it's the opposite of Earth. It goes blue. So there we are. We're wanting to visit other planets, aren't we? We're wanting to put people on Mars at some point. There's talk about putting people back on the moon again. But there's not an awful lot of evidence for others coming to this planet. Some people would say there is. I don't think there is. But actually, what we're celebrating at Christmas is an encounter, someone coming to this planet. And it's God himself visiting this planet. Isn't that incredible to think that God actually came to this planet as a person to visit us? And what we've read about today is a unique happening. It's never happened before. It will never happen again. Someone born of a virgin. So it's a miracle. So Mary and Joseph hadn't decided to start having children yet. And Mary became pregnant, but it wasn't Joseph who was the real father, it was God. God did a miracle and made her pregnant. And so Jesus, when he was born, he was called a nickname, Emmanuel. We read it in the passage. It means God with us. Now, I don't know if when you think about Jesus, if you think about him being God, but actually Jesus grew up and he made some very bold claims. He claimed not only to be a person, which he was, but he also claimed to be God. And we know this because he forgave people's sins, something which God alone can do. Now, if you do something bad to me, I might decide to forgive you, I might not. Hopefully I will decide to forgive you. But when we do bad stuff in our lives, and we all do wrong things, it's really only God who can forgive those bad things that we all do when we break God's laws. Yet Jesus was going around forgiving people, saying, I forgive you. I forgive you for the bad things you've done in your life. And then people thought, well, who is he? He's claiming to be God. So they tried to stone him, because that was one of the things that they had to do if someone claimed to be God and wasn't. But Jesus was God. And he actually even used the name of God. He said this, before Abraham was born, I am. Now, when I don't know if you know much about from the old part of the Bible, the Old Testament, but when Moses had an encounter with God, and Moses said, what is your name? God said, I am. That's a name that he gave to Moses. So Jesus was using that same name for himself, saying, before even Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, was around, I am. So Jesus very much claimed to be God. And you can say, well, what proof is there that he is God? Well, according to the Bible, he rose again from the grave. He defeated death. That's a pretty good bit of proof to say, yeah, I mean what I say, I really am God. He proved it by rising from the dead on the third day. Now, I don't know if you've been abseiling. Anyone here been abseiling, going off the side of a cliff? Anyone enjoy that? I've done it a few times, and I really don't enjoy it. But one thing I can be sure of is that rope, and that's what gets me over the edge, is putting my confidence in that rope. And I always check. I say, have you done that knot up? Can you just check it again? Check my harness one more time. Let's be honest. If we're going to put our trust in somebody or something in life, it's got to be trustworthy. And if Jesus is just a good person, no more than that, how can we really trust him with our very lives? And yet if he is who he claims to be, God, then we can trust him to rescue us, to save us. Okay, time to move the present. Let's have another. Who wants to? Yep, do you want to just have a little? Read them out. Thank you, Simone.
Move the gift, 8 people to your right, and then 3 people back.
8 people to your right, 3 people back. If you go to the end, then it's a wraparound effect. There we go. It's going around the same people, is it? Let's have an R for this side. They're getting hungry at the back, Lisa. That's brilliant. That's cheating. Okay, the second reason why the birth of Jesus is the best Christmas present of all is this. It's God actually coming to rescue us. Not only has God come to this planet, but he's come on a rescue mission. Now, in May of this year, there was an incident. Oh, well, let's go back. Right, this, I don't know if you can see on there, there's a picture of a... Well, there was a cat on. If you look to the left there, there's a bridge. And there's a little arrow pointed to where the cat was on the bridge. The cat was actually stuck on this bridge. So in May this year in Cornwall, a cat named Hattie went missing for 2 weeks after going for a walk and was discovered by someone stuck up a 98-foot high bridge after someone posted pictures on social media of a cat stuck on a bridge. It was the Royal Albert Bypass in Saltash, Cornwall. The owner called out the cat's name and it meowed, meow, and showed its face, but it was stuck. After 5 days of the cat being stuck, the owner was getting really desperate as the cat was looking really rough, despite a number of members of the public catapulting bits of food up to the cat. The local fire brigade arranged a rescue plan and hacked away undergrowth and erected a huge ladder. They hacked away the undergrowth, put up a huge ladder, but the cat refused to come out, even when offered Dreamies treats by the fire crew. Eventually, after an estimated cost of £5,000 being spent on the rescue mission, they gave up hope for the day and packed away their ladder, vowing to come back the next day. That night, however, something happened. While the fire crew and media were at the owner's house in Cornwall, there was a meowing at the window. The cat had simply walked home by itself and strolled back into the garden past the media and the fire crew as if nothing had happened. Can you believe it? We've just got a cat and we're hoping that it doesn't do the same thing, so let's hope for the best. It's already been in the Christmas tree a number of times, causing havoc. Now, you might have never thought of Jesus as being a rescuer, but that's exactly why he came. And that's exactly what his name means. The name Jesus literally means the Lord saves. He's come here to rescue us. And that was his mission. And the Bible says that we've all done bad stuff. We've all done wrong things. It's called sin. That's the wrong things that we do. And the reason why Jesus came was to rescue us from the penalty of those bad things that we do. The fact is, we're all going to die at one point. We're going to stand before God. And everything we've done in this life, the good and the bad, is going to be laid open to God. But there's a great promise that God gives to us, that in trusting in him, we can have eternal life. The bad news is that there's both a heaven and a hell. God doesn't want us to go to hell. He wants us to go to heaven when we die. And that's why he came, was born as a child, a human being. He lived a perfect life. And he gave his life on the cross for each one of us so we could be saved from the bad things that we do and we can get to heaven when we die. And accepting what Jesus has done when he died on the cross for us, it's like having a delete button from all the bad things you've done. Isn't it lovely to have that delete button when you've made a mistake, when you're typing something out and you press delete and it gets rid of it? Well, Jesus is like our big delete button. Everything bad you've ever done, everything bad I've ever done that I'm ashamed of, he knows about already. That's the bad news. But the good news is this, there is forgiveness available today. And you might have come here this morning full of all sorts of things that you know aren't right in your life, and you're thinking, what is to come? What's going to happen to me when I face God? Well, the fact is, God loves you and he loves me, and he wants to forgive us for those bad things that we've done. When Jesus died on the cross, he took the blame for all of those things so that we don't have to, so that we can be forgiven. Do you see him as your rescuer? He went to the cross for you. It's been said, even if you were the last person in the world, Jesus still would have done it for you. He would have, because he loved us so much, he would have died in our place and borne our sins on the cross. Time to move the present. Oh, it's still going, is it? Let's have one more. Come on. Who wants to read it out? Do you want to read it out?
Move the gift to the closest person wearing red.
Aha. There's going to be a few people wearing red. It might even be the person who's got it right now. If you haven't had one, then do grab one. The last thing I wanted to say. Oh, dear. Pardon? We've just had a big election, haven't we? Wasn't it exciting? No. Some people are really happy and some people are really sad. There's all a mixed feeling all across the UK as to whether it's been a good thing or a bad thing. I read on social media... Oh, there we go. I read on social media that... The map of the political map of the UK looks a bit like a Smurf that's been in a fight, blue with white, with yellow on the top and bits of red around. So I thought it was quite an interesting description. But for many people, they're feeling that way. That they're feeling, well, with this Brexit and everything else, it's just dragging on and dragging on. And it appears that the country has got itself into a bit of a mess. And when you think about it, the world is in a little bit of a mess, isn't it? Really. But that's just an extension of the mess that we're all in, really, because we've all done bad stuff. We've all got a selfish side to us. And it's that very selfish side that God wants to do something in and to change us. God wants to come into our lives and he wants to lead us. And you might be happy with the current Prime Minister, you might be very unhappy. But the fact is, no matter whether we're happy or sad, there is a leader who wants to lead us. And he's the perfect leader. He's the perfect king. Now, Herod didn't want Jesus as king. That's why he tried to kill him. But the wise men came and worshipped Jesus. They had the opposite response. And today, we can either choose to have Jesus as our king, or we can choose to reject him as king in our lives, and we can be our own king. The problem is, when we're our own leader, we end up messing it up, really, don't we, if we're honest. We make a mess of things. That's why Jesus wants to be leading our lives. And a Christian really is someone who admits they've messed up, they've asked Jesus to forgive them, and they've asked Jesus to be in charge of their lives. And I just want to give an opportunity now. You might have never prayed this prayer before, but the way I became a Christian was simply by praying a very simple prayer, saying sorry for the bad things that I'd done, asking Jesus to forgive me and to come into my life. And the prayer was not me trusting in my own goodness, but actually trusting in what Jesus had done for me on the cross. And I said that prayer when I was 16 years old. I've been following Jesus since. And I've got an assurance that if I died tonight, I'd be with the Lord in heaven. Not because I deserve it, I don't, but because of his goodness to me. And you can have an assurance as well that if you died tonight, you'd be with Jesus in heaven forever. So I want to give a chance for anyone who wants to pray this prayer, to become a Christian, to say sorry to God for their sins, to get forgiven. It's an opportunity to do that and to ask Jesus to be number one in our lives. So I wonder if we can just close our eyes, please, just for a second, and just have a little bit of quiet. I'm going to pray this prayer, and if you want to become a Christian, you just say these words after me, between you and God, and it's a chance to get right with God this morning. And to get all those bad things that we've done sorted. Here's the prayer then. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I've done many wrong things in my life. I'm truly sorry for all of these things. Please forgive me. And please come into my life today. Thank you that you died on the cross for me. I put my trust in you today. I choose to turn away from what is wrong. And I choose to follow you. Please be number one in my life. Come and lead me from this day forwards. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the strength to follow you every day. Amen. Now, I'm going to give a challenge now. If you said that prayer for the first time, I'm just going to ask you to put up your hand, because I've just got some New Testaments. That's the new part of the Bible. In fact, they're Gospels. And it's a great book to read, to have a little read a bit more about what Jesus has done. And also, there's a little thing here of how to follow Jesus. And I just want to... So if you said that prayer for the first time and you would like one of these, if you put up your hand, and maybe Dave Tucker, could you just come and grab a few of these and give them out to anyone who would like that, please? That would be amazing. You'll just go around now, and if you said that prayer and you'd want to receive one of those, then feel free to do that. I'll just give a few minutes for Dave to do that. Yep, go ahead. Thank you. Just want to say well done for praying that prayer. You know, Jesus, when he went to the cross publicly for each one of us. He wasn't ashamed of us. And sometimes we can be, you know, scared of admitting, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm following Jesus. But it's one of the bravest things anyone can do, one of the most courageous things we can do in life. I think it makes you a real man or a real woman to follow God, because it takes great guts. And all over the world, people are standing up for the name of Jesus, and it's not easy for them to do that. Many of them are even suffering, and some of them are even being killed all around the world for following Jesus. So be bold, be strong. If you haven't put your hand up and you want one, come and have a chat with us afterwards, and we'll give you one of those. Okay, let's just say a prayer, and then we're going to finish with another song of worship, and then we've got some food downstairs. Lord, I want to thank you for your love for each and every one of us. Lord, as we go through this Christmas, we pray especially for those who are going through tough times at the moment, that you draw close to each and every person who's needy. Lord, those who maybe are grieving at the minute, and suffering loss, those who are struggling in terms of provisions. Lord, we just pray that you draw close to each and every person. And Lord, thank you for everything that you've done for each one of us. Just help us to know you more and more day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, everyone. Let's stand, shall we? We're going to finish with a song.